Okay, a few short ideas on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, after Matan Torah, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseres HaDibros, the highlight of Shavuos is, of course, the Zman Matan Torah Seinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah. Immediately after the Aseres HaDibros, the pasuk says, "V'chol amrei mesakolus v'slapidim v'yis kol hashayfar v'yisar oshen v'yar ha'am v'yanu v'yamdu meirochok." They saw. They were shaken, and they distanced themselves from Har Sinai. V'yomru el Moshe. This is in Parshas Yisro, immediately after the Aseres HaDibros. V'yomru el Moshe, "Daber atay imanu v'nishmo v'yal yidaber imanu elokim pen namos." We can't take this. It's too terrifying to be in the presence of the Gilui Shechina. Instead, you be our intermediary. Now, this is a very important pasuk. This pasuk really comes to define the purpose of Matan Torah, the purpose of creation. Vayoyimer Moshe Elohim, Al Tirahu, do not be afraid. Ki le'avur nasos eschem, in order to. Nasos means to elevate you. Similarly, that's what the word nasos means, to elevate you. Eschem bohu elokim uvavur tihye yiraso al pneichem levilti sechetahu. The fear of Hashem should be on your face so that you do not sin. In other words, this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The purpose of Matan Torah, the purpose of Torah is Yiras Shamayim. Every single day, in davening, before davening, some people say, we should say, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The tafkid of Torah is to bring a person lidei Yiras Shamayim. Kol mi sheyirasoi kodemes lechochmasoi, chochmasoi miskayemes. A person who is a Yiras Shamayim, if his Yira is greater than his degree of knowledge, then his knowledge will remain. But a person who is a very wise, learned fellow, but lacks Yiras Shamayim, then there's not much worth to his chochma. Matan Torah was given together with Koilos Barakim, with lightning and thunder, and Klal Yisrael, they had an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told them, that's exactly the point. The point is that the Torah should be given together with a degree of Yiras Shamayim. Now, if we take a close look at the pasuk, there's a very beautiful idea from the Chiddush HaRim. He says the pasuk doesn't seem to make sense. There seems to be a contradiction in the pasuk. The pasuk begins, Hashem says, V'yomer Moshe el ha'am, Al Tirahu. Don't be afraid. That's what it says. Al Tirahu. And then he goes on to say, "Levavur nasos eschem bohelukim, uvavur tiyeh yiraso al pneichem levilti sechato." The reason why Hashem has come and appeared to you, has revealed Himself to you, is that you should be afraid. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? First, it says, "Don't be afraid," al tirahu, and then it says, "Uvavur tiyeh yiraso al pneichem," you should be afraid, so you should not sin. So there appears to be a direct contradiction between the middle pasuk and the pasuk. And furthermore, what is the meaning of the middle pasuk where it says, "Ki levavur nasos eschem bohu elokim"? So the Chiddush HaRim is something very, 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 very interesting, very popular idea, but he brings it out very well in this pasuk. We are aware that on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Mevarach L'Chodesh, we ask for Yiras Shamayim twice. Right, first, we ask for Yiras Shamayim in the Nusach Tefillah twice. Why do we ask for a double dosage of Yiras Shamayim? So the common answer is there are two types of Yiras Shamayim. There's Yiras Ha'inish, there's fear of punishment, and there's fear, what's called Yiras Haroimimus. Nothing to do with punishment. You're not afraid that the person will bring upon you any harm. You have not done anything wrong, but you have a sense of awe. Two entirely different types of yira. And when we are mevarich, when we are mevakeish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning of the month, to have yira shemayim, we ask for both types of fear. We should be afraid not to do of Hashem punishment. That's the first form of yira shemayim. And the second form is the awe. That's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayeh Moshe el ha'am al tiro," the Chiddush HaRim says, there is a kometz underneath the resh, al tirohu. According to the rules of grammar, it should be al. There should be a shva and a chirik, a shva al ti ri'u. there's a chirik mole, that underneath the tof there is a chirik, and then there's a yud, t, and the resh is a shva, which would make it into a shva na, being that it comes after a tnu gedola, after the chirik mole, so it should be al t ri'u. Do not be afraid. Why then does the pasuk say al tirahu with a comet? So the Chiddush Harim says when you have a comet, it means do not be afraid. There's a difference between tiru and tirahu. Tiru means an internal fear, a fear that comes from an appreciation of something very deep within you. When you have the word spelled tiro, means a fear that's brought upon you by something external. And we explain what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael is, you're coming over here to Har Sinai, and you see over here Gilui Shechina, and you're afraid. Don't be afraid of punishment. That's not the type of yira that is what Matan Torah is about. Al tirohu. Don't be afraid that if you don't do the mitzvos, or you do the lo sases, Hashem will punish you. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you, from Matan Torah, this is the message of Matan Torah. What Hashem wants from you, Matan Torah, ki levavur, the purpose of Matan Torah is nasos, to elevate you, to uplift you, to make you into people who are appreciative, great people, people that have a sense of the grandeur, the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki levavur, nasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to uplift you, Baruch Lukim, and thus, if you become people of stature, elevated people, what will the result be? Tia yiraso al pinechem, you will be people who will have yiras haroimimus. The yirasoi al pinechem, the year will be on your face, levilti sechetohu, and then memela you will not sin. It's not that you're not going to sin because you're afraid HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you. You're not going to sin because you have a sense of the awe, the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a sense of the yiras haroimimus. So it's a very beautiful interpretation. I just want to tie, just before I review it, I want to tie this into what we say to a Rashi in Parshas Michukosai. Rashi in Parshas Michukosai, right before the Teicha begins, we have a few psukim which relate a series of brachos. And one of the last brachos is, let me just find the pasuk. It's in the beginning of Parshas Michukosai. Ve'salachti b'seichechem. Okay, this is in Pasuk Perek Chovah Pasuk Yudbeis. Perek Chovah Pasuk Yudbeis. Ve'nasati mishli b'seichechem. Ve'loy sigal nafshi yeschem. Ve'salachti b'seichechem. I will walk among you. Ve'hoyisi lochem l'elokim. Rashi says, what does it mean ve'salachti b'seichechem? Atayel imochem b'gan Eden. It's a shocking Rashi, shocking Chazal, that Hashem says, I will walk together with you in Gan Eden, ke'echod mikem, like one of you. V'lo tiyu mizdazim mimeni, and you will not tremble from before me. Yochel, I would think, if you're not going to tremble from before me, yochel, I think, lo tiru mimeni, you won't be afraid of me. Tamaloymar, the pasuk concludes, V'hoyisi lochem le'elokim, I will be your God. What's going on here? Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us into Gan Eden, and he's going to walk among us as if he's one of us, and we're not going to be afraid. But then he says, sir, you're not going to be afraid. But you'll think, can it really be? You're not going to be afraid? No, you will be afraid, because V'yisi lochem l'elokim. But the beginning of the pasuk said that we're not going to be afraid. Hashem is going to walk among us in Gan Eden, and we're not going to be terrified of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer, obviously, is there are two different types of fear. There's a fear of punishment, and there's a fear called awe, respect. Yiras haroimus. The fear, the respect called awe, is automatically, it's a much higher level. It's a different type of fear. That's exactly the two different types of fears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in Gan Eden, I'll walk among you. You're not going to be afraid, meaning you're not going to be afraid I'm going to punish you. Why am I? You're not going to be afraid I'm going to punish you? It's because you're going to have for me the other type of yira, the yira of yira saroimus. Again, so this idea that we see in the pasuk Parshas Chukos really is the whole essence of what the of what Matan Torah is all about. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the interpretation of the Chiddush Shirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, Hashem gives the Torah to Klal Yisrael are terrified from the Koilos, the Drakim, the Kol Shofar, the entire experience, and Moshe says, it's good that you're afraid, but just make sure the fear is not a fear of punishment. It's true, that's a very important step in the process of developing, of coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, the ultimate goal is not to focus on the fear of punishment, but to focus on Yiras Haroimus. When a person is in a state of Ova Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's just natural you're not going to sin. And if you're not going to sin, you'll have nothing to be afraid of punishment, because you're on a much higher exalted level of Yiras Haroimus. What? Not necessarily. We don't know how Gan Eden works. That's something that we don't really. Okay, we don't. Yeah. Okay, let's go to another idea. One of the reasons we eat milk, we eat dairy products on Shavuos. The most popular, the most common reason given by Chazal is because that when Hashem gave us the Torah, He gave us all the laws of Shechita and Hagolas Kelim and the Velos, the Trefos, and all the Kelim of Klal Yisrael were not kosher. So we had no choice but to eat dairy products until they learned the halachas, how to kasher and how to prepare kosher meat. That's the most popular reason. I came across another reason which made a very powerful impression upon me. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was hidden from the Egyptians for 3 months. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born during the time Kol Abein Hayilot Hayoret Hashlichu. Any male child that was found alive was thrown into the Nile. Yocheved and Amram, they defied the decree of Paro. They married, they had a child, and Moshe was hidden for 3 months. When was Moshe Rabbeinu born? Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. We all know that. Moshe Rabbeinu's birth and death were the same day as Zayin Adar. How long were they able to hide Moshe until the Egyptians came to find him? Pasuk says very clearly, for exactly 3 months. What is exactly 3 months from Zayin Adar? Not Zayin. Well, 3 months, that would be 3 months in 1 day. That would be 3 months in 1 day. It's Vav Sivan. Or even if you want to say it's Zayin Sivan, it's not Shekasha, because the Torah was really given on Zayin Sivan. Valchar Vav Sivan. That means the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Nile, when Yocheved and Miriam made a teva for Moshe Rabbeinu and put him in the teva, was on Vav Sivan. And he was thrown in. Who went to observe what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu? His sister, Miriam. She went out. What happened? Bas Paro went out. She saw the baby. She extended her hand. She had compassion upon Moshe Rabbeinu, and then she wanted to feed him. And what did she attempt to do? She attempted to give the baby to a nurse. What kind of what nurse? An Egyptian nurse. But Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from any of the Egyptian women. Why? Because the peh, as Rashi says, the peh she'osit ledaber mashrina, the mouth that was destined peh el peh adaber bo, the peh that's osit ledaber mashrina, it was not fit that peh should nurse from a non-Jewish woman, until Miriam said to Bas Paro, this is a Jewish baby, maybe if you give him to a Jewish nurse, the baby will nurse from someone, maybe the baby senses the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Why don't you give it to one of the Ivriyos? So indeed, the Bas Paro says, okay, go find for me a Jewish nurse. Who did Miriam recruit? None other than Yocheved, the mother of Moshe himself. What did Yocheved say? What did the Bas Paro say to Yocheved? Hey Lichi, hey Shalach. Indeed, take your child. She didn't even know what she said. She was misnabe. She did not even know what she was misnabe. She was obviously a very holy Bas Paro. Basia was a very holy person. Her name, the name she Moshe Rabbeinu, stuck with Moshe Rabbeinu forever. Moshe came in the Mishnah Shisiyu, and Chazal said that she went alichot alayar. She went to convert. She cleansed herself from avodah zara. She was a holy person, and she said to Yocheved, "Hey Lichi, hey Shalach, take what is rightfully yours." Moshe Rabbeinu then nursed from his mother. This all took place when? On Vav Sivan. So what we reenact, or we remember this entire sequence of events every year Shavuos by eating dairy products. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu refused to eat dairy from a non-Jewish woman, waited until he was reunited with his mother to nurse, to drink milk, to suckle milk, so too we recall this event by focusing on milk, on focusing on dairy products on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. What is the deeper message that lies in this zecher of dairy products? Number one, every person should realize that the same way Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from Bas Paro because the peh was destined to the medabe mashrina, every single person has to recognize his potential. Every single person on Shavuos has to recognize you don't know how far you can go. Who would have expected this little baby Moshe Rabbeinu would even have survived, and let alone become the Gadol Hadar and go to Shemayim, Arboim Yom Arboim Laila, Lechem Lechalti, Mayim Leisha Sisi. But the Peh She'osid L'daber Mashchina refused to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Every single person to a certain degree has potential, and you have to focus on realizing and not making light, not to underestimate how far you can go. Another Musar Haskel we can learn from this Minog, the Zecher, is the Bas Paro, before she gave Moshe to Yocheved, she passed Moshe Rabbeinu around to all of the non-Jewish women. And they said, "No, do something with this baby." And no one was able to succeed. No one was able to nurse Moshe until Moshe finally went back to where he belongs. He went back to his mother, and from his mother he was able to nurse. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. And no one wanted it. Hashem said, "Do you want the Torah?" "No, we don't want it." It didn't work. There was a rejection. There was a problem. There was a lack of connection between the Umos Olam and the Torah. Till finally, the Torah came to Klal Yisrael. Hey Lichi, Hey Shalach. This is what's yours. The Torah was meant to be for Klal Yisrael. Misheshim Ebreishis. It was reunited. There's a Musar Haskel that you can't take away what's, you can't be denied what is rightfully yours. Whatever it is, even if there is a tkufa where things don't seem to go where they belong, ultimately everything makes it back to helichi, hey shalcha, it goes back to where it rightfully belongs. So let's go to another idea. We have on the other of Shulis the inyan of shtei halechem. I think I'm not sure if it's the Mogen Avraham or it's the Taz. He says something very interesting. We have a minhag to eat on Yom Tov to basar and cholov. Not, of course, at the same time, and not eating cholov after basar unless you wait 6 hours. But many people have the custom to eat at least one meal on Yom Tov of Shavuos, a dairy meal. Why? Why do we have this minhag? Okay, so I just mentioned that one reason, the common reason I told you before, and this other reason. But there's another reason. Okay, grounding through different reasons is it's a zecher for the shtei halechem. What do you say? There are 100 reasons.
His etzah tomorrow morning was she put out disposable things, eat a dairy meal, wash, like make kiddush, wash. We don't fall the dairy with the disposable milk and then eat basar.
Right. So first, you dairy. Then you have a half. Okay, there are different techniques. Okay, there are many different customs. There are techniques. But I just want. But one of the reasons given. I'm asking more a general question. Why? What's the reason? I already gave you two reasons. Because when Hashem gave us the Torah, we did not yet know the laws of kashrus. We did not know the laws of shchita. The laws of nevelas and treifas. We didn't know the laws of hagolas kelim, tefilas kelim. All of these things were new to us. Therefore, we had no choice but the dairy products until we learned the ropes. I just told you another reason. It's a zecher from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he nursed only from his Jewish mother, not from the non-Jewish women on Vav Sivan. Another reason given by the Taz and Magen Avraham is because it's a zecher for the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem, I mean, the carbon that we bring on the end of the Shavuot, the two loaves of bread. two loaves of bread, and we weigh the loaves of bread in all six directions, and it's accompanied by the kivsat teres by a shlamim, by a carbon. Two loaves of bread made from wheat and it's chametz. In contrast to Pesach, we bring the omer is barley, and it's not chametz. On Shavuos, it's the only carbon besides the toad that comes from chametz, and it is made from wheat. And that has to be two separate loaves of bread. So, Mepharshim explained, since there are two separate loaves of bread, we eat two different types of meals. We eat meat, and we eat challah. Because in order to show that there are two different types of breads, there have to be two different types of food. Which now here's where the Mepharshim goes a step further. The question then is, so all we have to do, what does it have to do with the Shtei Halechem? Just because you eat two different types of bread, so we eat meat and milk, how does that connect to two different types of breads? So the answer they give is as follows. You have to, when you eat, in ancient times, even today, when you eat meat, you typically eat the meat together with bread. You don't eat meat alone. You have to have some carbohydrates. So you have to have bread. When you eat a dairy meal, you also have to eat the dairy with bread. In Shulchan Aruch, there is a halacha that if you eat a meat meal and you eat bread at the meat meal, that bread may not be eaten with a dairy at a dairy meal. Because there's a concern that since I ate this loaf of bread, this piece of bread together with a piece of meat, there may be some residue, some fat or some shamnunis of the meat that got onto the bread. And you may not be aware of this. And then if you'll take that same loaf of bread, the leftover that loaf of bread, and you'll eat it together with the dairy product, you'll be eating basa b'chalav. Likewise, if you eat bread at a dairy meal, that leftover bread may not, under any condition, be eaten at a meat meal. Because there's a concern. There may be some residue of the dairy product left on the bread that you've eaten with it at the dairy meal, and it may now get mixed with the meat at the meat meal, and therefore you have to have different loaves of bread. One loaf of bread for your meat meal, and a separate loaf of bread for your dairy meal. Therefore, that's why we eat basar b'chalav. But the reason why we have two separate meals is because by eating a meat meal and eating a dairy meal, it forces us to have two different sets of lechem, two different sets of bread. A bread for the meat and a bread for the dairy. Once we're having two different sets of breads, that is a zecher for the shtei halechem. Okay, so it's not just the shtei alechem. What does shtei alechem have to do with meat and dairy? The answer is, because when you eat bread with meat, you may not use that bread with dairy. When you eat bread with dairy, you may not use that with meat. You have no choice but to have two separate loaves of bread. Two separate loaves of bread on the festival of Shavuos. Ooh, that's a zecher for the shtei halechem, the carbon that's offered on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now, this is a very powerful idea because this has opened up for me, at least in my mind, a new idea, a new appreciation of shtei halechem that I never related to. When you study the Torah and you learn, okay, I'm sure you bring shtei halechem. Okay, two loaves of bread. The two loaves of bread, they're twins. They're identical. You connect them, you touch them, you put them together. It's just double of one. From the minhag, when we look at the custom of meat and dairy, we learn it's not just two breads. It's one bread and one bread. And the two breads have nothing to do with one another. In fact, they can't even come together. When you study the parasha of the Shtei Halechem that accompanies the Kivsat Tzeres, the Torah, for whatever reason, I don't know why, it says you bring two loaves of bread. So you take two loaves of bread, you put them like Lecha Mishnah, and they're exactly the same. We don't sense any appreciation that each loaf of bread has its own distinctive quality, its own distinctive character. But when we study the custom that we do in order to remind ourselves of the Shtei Lechem, it opens up for us the realization that it's not just two pieces of bread that are glued together You know, you go to the bakery and you buy the bulkas, you buy the rolls, they're glued together. No. It's not two challahs glued together. They're very separate. Now the question then is, why would there be, what possible meaning can there be in there being two separate loaves of bread? So I think there's an idea. One is just the following idea. In Parashat Semo, the Torah tells us that you're supposed to count Sfirot. Sfirot is counted Mimocharas HaShabbos. We count Sfirot on the day after Shabbos, the day after Pesach. Miyoyim HaVircheh V'Esoymer, the day after we bring a measure of bread. We also bring bread. We bring bread on Pesach. The first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach, we bring the Omer. With barley, one measure of barley, and from that moment when we bring that day, when we bring the Omer, we count 50 days to Shavuos, and on the 50th day of Shavuos, we bring two loaves of bread. Why is it that on Pesach it's one loaf, and on Shavuos it's two loaves? Well, the truth is, the Torah really tells us the answer. Because the Torah tells us there are two countings. There's a counting of weeks, Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, and there's a counting of days, 50 days. There are two separate countings. And the countings are from the bread. We go from bread to bread. And if you want to go elaborate, the bread starts from barley bread to wheat bread. Barley bread is coarse. It's animal fodder. Wheat bread is refined. Pesach, we are on a low spiritual level. Shavuos, we've risen to a high spiritual level. We've gone from a state of coarseness to a state of refinement, from barley to wheat. But why two? So the answer is because it's a double counting. We're counting weeks and we're counting days. Now here's the point I want to make. What is the difference between counting weeks and counting days? The days that we count are 50. We don't actually count the last day because of a drasha, but we count 50 days. The number 50. Weeks are 7 weeks. The number 50 in Chumash was always associated with the past. Yovel is a zman, v'shavtem ish el achuzasa v'ish el mishpachto toshav. Yovel, the number 50, is always a number that is associated with return to your roots. When you reach the number 50, return. Freedom. Person that's a slave, return. Return back to your family where you've come from. You have an ancestral plot, it is returned to you. Chazor, back to the past. 7, on the other hand, you don't find anywhere the concept of 7 is referenced to return. Shabbos is always the future. This world is a world, there are 6 days of career, 6 days of work, and the goal is to reach Shabbos. There is nothing that comes after Shabbos. After Shabbos, start again. We repeat the cycle. But the goal is Shabbos, the goal is to go from this world to Olam, Yom Shakula Shabbos, to come to Olam Haba. When you focus on 7, and 7 times 7, 7 Shabbos Tzimos, there's a connotation of going forward. When you focus on 50, you're counting days, coming to number 50, Yovel. Yovel is a concept which represents the idea of going backwards. V'shavt and ish alachuzos of ish al-mishpach to-toshuv. Matan Torah, Shavuos, is the day when you bring two loaves of bread. We left Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the carbon of Mitzrayim is expressed in Matzah, it's expressed in the Omer, and from there we begin a process of refinement. The process of refinement involves a two-step process, weeks and days. We culminate on Shavuos. The culmination of the Shavuos from our starting point of barley is two loaves of bread. But just like the minig is, one loaf of bread for basar, one loaf of bread is for cholov, the two are completely separate. The two do not have anything in common. The two must be fully separated from one another. They cannot come together. Likewise, the two breads represent different concepts. One concept is a return back to our roots. Where do we come from? We come from the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You return to the Shoresh, to Mount Har Sinai. What's the other loaf of bread? The other loaf of bread is Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, future. Klal Yisrael has a destiny, has a goal to be an Or LaAmen. Past and future don't mix. The past is one concept. The future is a different concept. The most that we can do is we can take the two together and recognize that we combine the legacy of the past with our mission for the future. So that's a little bit of this is just an idea, drush of the Shtei Lechem. Two different types of bread that have nothing in common. One is the past, one is the future. Okay, this isn't okay. Let me go to another quick few short ideas. Shavuos, we learn. Okay, let's. This is. I found this interesting. This is just like a remazah. These are not full ideas. In Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah lays out all the korbanos, it says the word tanimin with regard to every single one of the Yom Tovim. Let me give you an example. L'chodesh harishayin, okay, Pesach, the first holiday, you bring korbanos, b'yom harishayin, okay, v'yikraftem, you shall bring isha, oyle l'Hashem, a burnt offering, parim, b'nei v'akar, shnayim, v'ayel l'achad, v'shevach v'asim, b'nei shana, tanimin, yihiyu lochem. The seven animals have to be tanimin, complete. Goes to when you go to all of the other Yom Tovim, always says the word tanim in reference to the korbanos. Shavuos is the only one that does not follow the pattern of tanimim in Parshas Pinchas, because by Shavuos, when it describes the animals, it does not say tanimim. It says bring a parim b'nei vakar shnayim v'ayel echad shivach v'asim b'nei shana. Then when it describes the mincha, the meal offering, and the yayin that accompanies the karban, u'minchasan selis b'lo v'shemen shleish ha'ashim l'apar shnei shem l'ayel, goes through the flour. It says mulvat olas satamid u'minchaso ta'asu timimim yihiyu lochem v'niskehem. It says the word tanimim after it mentions the mincha, the minchas nesachim, the meal offering, and the yayin that accompanies the karban. So all the mafarshim ask, the question is better than the answer, why with regard only to the yontif of Shavuos is the word tanimim mentioned in connection with the wine and flour that accompany the karban, and not with regard to the animal? All the other karbanos, it says the word tanim only with regard to the animals. There it says the word tanim. But when it comes to the flour and the wine, it doesn't say the word tanim. But by Shavuos, it says tanimim, even with regard to the yayin as well. So I want to say a drush. And the drush is based upon one of the highlights of Shavuos, at least in the thought of the Midrashim and in Chazal, is that it's the birth and death of David HaMelech, Malchus, Melech HaMashiach. When did Melech HaMashiach first begin to appear? Back in Chumash Bereishis, in Parshas was it Vayera? With Lot, the daughters of Lot. Parshas Vayera, by the daughters of Lot. So when Lot was in the cave, Hashem decided to destroy Sodom. Hanachas ani me'Avram, eis shani oiseh. And Lot escaped with his two daughters. And the pasuk says there that they decided they're going to have children from their father. The Bechira and the Tzira, they're going to have children. Why? Because in order to keep to populate the world. How did the daughters of Lot were they able to become pregnant to their father? It says they gave their father Yayin. They gave the father wine. Where did they get wine to feed their father in a world that was destroyed? Okay, let me read the pasuk. So Rashi says it was a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself provided the wine, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Melech HaMashiach to come from Lot. Lot and the older daughter Moav. David comes from Moav, and Moav comes from Lot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with the ayin. Let me find the pasuk. Gesundheit. Vatashkena es avihen yayin balailahu. Wine. Rashi, pasuk lamed gimel. Yayin nizdamin lohem bim bama'ora lohitzi mehen shnei umos, in order to bring forth these two nations. Who provided? Hashem. And the Medrash says, it should have really said in the Pasuk, v'atashkena esavim yayin balayla hahu. But it does not say the word hahu, it says balayla hu. Who is a reference to? Is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Himself is the one that provided Yayin for them in that night. So one is Adarech Drush, that's why when it comes to the end of Shus, when it says Tanimim, Tanimim refers to even the Yayin is Tam. Because being that Shavuos is the birth of Melech HaMashiach, and Melech HaMashiach is rooted in the Maisa of Lot and his two daughters, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lot and his two daughters came about through a Maisa of Yayin, and the Yayin was provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an extra emphasis of Yayin, the Tanimus, the Shlemus of Yayin on the day of Shavuos. Okay, let me just tell you one other quick Vard, the end of Rus. What? The flower, there is no flower there. Or the milk. So while we're out of flour, so perhaps we could say is that being that the carbon of the day is the shtei halechem, that's a very similar answer. Since that the carbon of the day, the mincha, what is the mincha of the day? The mincha of the day is the shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem has to be tamim, has to be perfect, complete. So there's an emphasis that the mincha, the mitzvah hayom, and the yayin of Shavuos is tam, tanimim, because this day also was the day of Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach came about through the koyach of yayin. Okay, now in the Megillah, listen to tell you. So this vart, the end of the Megillah, I found this vart to be very a nice vart. End of Megillah Rus. We change the name of Salmon. The Eile told us parrots. Told us parrots. Parrots told us Chetzroin. The Chetzroin hoiled es Ram, the Ram hoiled es Aminadav, the Aminadav hoiled es Nachshain, the Nachshain hoiled es Salma. And then what does it say? The Salmoin hoiled es Boaz. Wait a minute, isn't his name Salma? How can we go from Salma to Salmoin? What happened? Why did the pasuk change from Salma to Salmoin? It's a good kasha. Right, all the other names are the same. No one's name changed. Why did we change? So you'll say, okay, that's a style of writing. That's, we know that the names are spelled differently, but this has to be something deeper. So I still want to say, if you study Tanakh, rules of grammar, every time you have an end nun, when there should have been either a hey or another letter, it's trying to indicate that there is a diminishing. We're trying to make something small. Let's say, I'll give you one example. Ishoin bas oyin. The pupil of an eye, right? The pupil of an eye is called the ishoin. The ishoin bas oyin. Why is the pupil of the eye called the ishoin? So the Mefarshim say because the ishoin is aleph yud shin. What is aleph yud shin? Ish. When you look at someone's pupil, what do you see? It's a reflection of yourself. But that reflection is a miniature. You see a little man. A little man, a little ish. How do you say a little man, not a big man? You take the word ish and you add an end nun. Every time you append an end nun to a word, you're trying to indicate that there is a diminishment. There is a miniature. We're coming to make something small. So the pupil of an eye is called the ishoin, because inside the black part of the eye is the reflection of an ish. What kind of ish? A little man. Ishoin basoin. Now, taking that idea, there's a Gemara Masechta Pesachim that's something very fascinating. We have a general rule that the skadnu hadoros, we've all seen in our own lifetimes, that as each generation passes, the stature, the level of your shemayim, the level of greatness of each generation gets less and less. Niskadnu hadoros. But occasionally it happens that a later generation outdoes. They excel. They become greater Yerushalayim than the previous generation. And the Gemara Masechta Pesachim cites one example of Boaz. Boaz, who is the main individual, the subject of Sefer Rus, besides Rus HaMoaviyah, but besides Rus, who else was the partner with Rus to produce Melech HaMashiach? Boaz. He was greater than his father. He outdid. His level of Yerushalayim, his level of greatness, far surpass the previous generations. Therefore, that's why we change Salmon to Salmon. In other words, we have over here a sequence of psukim. V'aminadav ha'lides nachshayin. Now, each generation gets less and less. V'nachshayin ha'lides Salmon. Nachshayin gave birth to Salmon. Now, we want to make mention that Salmon was going to be the father of Boaz. But when we want to compare Nachshon to Keneged Salma, okay, that's natural. Nachshon had a son, Salma. But now we want to indicate that Salma is going to have a son, Boaz, that's going to outdo him, that's going to be greater than Salma, is going to reverse the trend of generations. So now we say, V'salmoin with a nun, hoylid es Boaz. Boaz was greater than Salma. That means Salma was small in stature relative to Boaz. How do we make that indication? By changing name Salma to Salmon. Until now, at this point in history, everything was going along the lines. Everything was going, Nachshon gave birth to Salma. Salma was, of course, by nature. We would expect the next generation should be even in the Skat Nu Haderos. But being that the next generation of Boaz was greater than the previous generation, so we changed the name of Salma to Salmon, with the Eren and Nun. Endun means niskatein, that he was small relative to the greatness of Boaz.
But it's a negative attitude. Why are you making him smaller? So make Boaz bigger.
Because there's no way to make Boaz bigger. We don't have any rule in grammar that it can make Boaz bigger. That's how it is.
He gave birth to a boy person. The father.
The father, well,
the
not, it's chashiv for him, but there are different levels of chashivas. It's a very great honor that he is the father of a very great person. But the bottom line is his son, Boaz, exceeded him in greatness than the father. Now, what's the Musar Haskel? The Musar Haskel is that if you live in a generation, when you see the younger generation have achieved greater things than the previous generation, you know Mashiach is coming. That's the Musar Haskel. At the end of Sefer Rus, oh, Mashiach is born. David's on the way. Boaz marries Rus, and now we're coming to the end. What's the sin? What's the Musar Haskel for us when you see this trend? Boaz came on the scene, and Boaz, who's now going to be the one that's going to marry our person of the Megillah, Rus of the Megillah, to bring about Melech Mashiach, he's greater than the previous generation. Ooh, that's now a sign David's coming. Ben David, his footsteps are heard in the background. So when you live in a generation that the previous generation, the later generation, that's a very good sign. Now, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation. Now, I don't know about Yiras Shemayim, but there are definitely milas that everyone agrees that this generation has, that the previous generations, that I can't say about Yiras Shemayim, and you can't say a lot of things that you can't say, obviously, but the ribuy, the hispashtus, the spread of Torah in this generation is incredible. And there's a darga of Salma, Salmoin, Hoylid es Peres. You have to look at the good side of things. Don't always look at the negative. And that's a sign that the footsteps of David HaMelech are surely around the corner. Okay, have a wonderful Yom Tov. Be well.